It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, good people? It is Craig, newest member of the Lightning Round podcast team, and just stopped in to chat with you guys a little bit about some of these Chargers undrafted rookie free agents. Now, I know what you're saying. How interested could a bunch of undrafted guys be? Well, in many instances, not very, but that's why we're only going to talk about five, and it's going to be the guys that I think have maybe a very real shot to make the squad, and you know at least one of them will because it's the Charger way. So, without further ado, let's chop it up a little bit. And I won't be going over these guys in any particular order. Just some cats that I had an opportunity to look into a little bit more, whose tape stood out more than some others did. And the first name up to bat is probably a familiar one. If you guys tuned in to our pre-draft prospects shows, he comes from the interior defensive line show and was actually my sleeper. It's Jarrett Clark out of Coastal Carolina, the 6'4", 334-pound mountain of a man. And look, we all know what today's NFL is about, slinging the ball all over the yard. And so guys like this don't have much of a place anymore, except they do, especially when you have a team that just from the last handful or so of years can't seem to get their act together when it comes to stopping the run. Now, to me, it's a little bit more demoralizing to have the ball crammed down your throat in between the A and B gaps. Teams that employ a lot of power runs that just go straight at the interior, at the heart of your defensive line, literally at the core. When you're beat to the outside, sometimes it's just a matter of being out-athleted by a running back. When you're a defensive end or edge guy who just doesn't have like the foot speed or the quicks to keep up, that's a totally different thing. But just getting sunned for four quarters like the Chargers have been, with teams just obliterating them up the middle of the defense, just, you know, it's crushing. So you take a big body like this, who, again, 334-pound person who can anchor and take on double teams, keep linebackers free, and make it really hard to move the ball in the middle of the defense, and also, you know, create push to where he can disrupt timing on run plays and maybe force running backs to have to make some other decisions and cut back into potential pursuit, I think is pretty much invaluable. So just like I said before, he's gonna shore up your run defense just from his sheer size, but there's also some athleticism there. The guy was formerly a tight end. If you look back at some of his late high school stuff, he was a pretty decent athlete. He just packed on some pounds and moved to the interior of the defensive line. And voila, this is what you have. And for the fans that have been clamoring for a Jamal Williams type, I'm not saying that that's who he is or will be. But again, just that type of body that can maybe do a little bit of what J-Dub did back in the day. He's actually pretty explosive for a true nose tackle with a really quick first step. And, you know, regardless as to whether you're talking about one gap, gap and a half, two gap, it doesn't really matter. He's going to keep guys at the second level free. And he may potentially be a person that can blow up some plays as far as the pass goes, with his ability to kind of push the pocket and have center sitting in quarterback's laps. So, this, again, is one of the guys that I think has a very, very, very real opportunity to make the team. Honestly, of the five that I've selected here, probably the highest probability. There's also the things that aren't all that great. And again, you've heard this before. He leans really heavily on his ability to power through interior offensive linemen. And so, you know, more often than not, that worked in college. The professional level, a little bit different. Guys have better anchors. The technique's a lot better. Someone in the interior can probably match him strength for strength. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's some stuff that he needs to be able to add to his toolbox. As a pass rusher, there isn't much there from a technique standpoint. Or, again, like the toolbox just doesn't really exist. But he's someone that will be able to be a disruptor, which, if nothing else, is something that the Chargers absolutely need on the interior, whether it's against the run or the pass. So there's a lot to be had there. And, again, some development that can be utilized moving forward as someone who could be a key contributor. And, yo, I might have mentioned this before. This is a guy that a lot of the analysts saw as a mid-round pick who somehow, someway ended up, I'm not going to say falling to the Chargers because they still had to sign him, but the Chargers were able to get on their roster without having to expend any draft capital. So hooray for that. Next up on the list is Brevin Allen out of Campbell University, the Fighting Camels. And I'm not making that up. That is actually their mascot, a camel. So I get what you're saying. This is a Division I FCS guy. What chance does he really have to make the roster? It may not be all that high, but he has some stuff on tape that I really liked about him. I mean, first off, he's 6'3", 261 pounds. And let's talk about what works. Got 34.5-inch arms, so nice length there. And he was sub 4'6", 40, so the guy can move. And he's actually pretty fluid on the football field. It's one of the things that I like most about him. He showed some really athleticism in one of the games that I saw. I watched him cover a running back who pre-snap goes in motion and continues that motion at the snap into a wheel route. Now, it wasn't the best wheel route, but all things considered, he ran with the back and was able to get a PBU in coverage as an edge guy. He didn't look terrible doing it. That's something that you can use, especially on the edge when you're talking about in football. You know, in the NFL nowadays, you've got all kind of athleticism, whether it be a tight end, of course, the running back position, but just somebody who can muddy things up if you have to put them in coverage that won't be a complete liability. When we're talking about from a pass rush standpoint, he's got really active hands, and it helps him win late in reps. Kind of lends towards what's not so great about him, the fact that he isn't winning right away on a lot of reps. If he doesn't beat guys by just being quicker than they are or a better athlete, then he can get stalemated, but his hands and feet are almost always moving still, and it allows him to win later in reps. So he gets sacks, whether it be because of good coverage or because he's still fighting, hand fighting, utilizing his mitts to get offensive tackle tight ends off of him and routes him still to directly towards the quarterback. And he flattens out pretty well down the line of scrimmage once he gets around the edge. So again, there's stuff there to work with. He doesn't really have a real pass rush repertoire. I'm not super surprised by that. Also, he lacks the bulk and the strength to kind of really set a solid edge. So that's something that would have to be improved upon. Otherwise, he'd end up being like a situational pass rusher, which isn't a bad thing, especially when you're talking about an undrafted rookie free agent. If that's his niche, then cool. You know, use him where he can, maybe even on special teams. So there's some value there potentially. And I wouldn't necessarily call him a high motor guy. I would like to have seen some better effort on certain plays. I don't know if it was just because he was gassed, because there were others where I saw him go all out consistently, and then it looks like he'd take a playoff here or there. And, you know, guy's not Superman, but when you're talking about playing at the Division I FCS level, you would have liked to have seen him be more dominant, but I saw enough traits to where it stood out to me and made me think, hey, potentially there may be something to this guy. So, you know. But, of course, it does not stop there, because I had to get a safety in here somehow. At least give me someone that stood out that I could talk about a little bit. It gives me a little bit of hope for maybe some competition. But, again, could be reaching here. Either way, there's still some stuff here for this guy. AJ Finley, Ole Miss. So, what works? 6'2", 202 pounds. He's actually got pretty decent instincts as a free safety and a split too high look. And you know that the Chargers run a bunch of that. I really like the fact that he had some good production with 8 career interceptions in the SEC. We know playing in that division can't be a slouch. Some of the best talent, some of the best teams come from the SEC. And I might be a little biased there, you know, being from Louisiana. Again, I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan, but LSU kind of lives in my heart a little bit. Can't say the same about the Saints. Y'all know the story. But, you know, if you're playing there and you're making plays, that says something about you. He's also a pretty willing run defender. He doesn't really shy away from contact. And on top of that, decent IQ. He's a player with in-depth understanding of route combinations. So watched him a few times, be able to diagnose some high-low concepts, not get fooled or bite on the underneath stuff, stay technically sound and defend his area of the field, not get beat over the top, and react pretty quickly when he saw routes that were switching off into his area and communicating with the safety across from him so that, you know, they don't end up in a busted play situation. So I really, really like that a bunch. And also, he uses his length really well. He actually weaponizes it in coverage, which helps him cover some of the things that he isn't all that great at, which is what I'll talk about now. The guy is real freaking thin. I mean, although, like I said, he's a willing tackler, I wouldn't want him coming downhill regularly because I just feel like the Ichabod Crane in him is going to get him injured at some point, and it really freaks me out. I love that the guy doesn't mind throwing his body around, but being able to stand up to running backs, tight ends in the SEC, yeah, that should help me in granting him some grace there, but I really don't feel all that great about it in the NFL. It just seems like it's a matter of time before he gets snapped off. I don't necessarily think he's all that rangy, but like I said before, he weaponizes his length, which helps him overcome that. So where some people I've actually seen say that they think he has really, really good range, I more so think it's his length that helps him to recover when he gets beat and helps him to get to spots before some receivers or be at the catch point when he's in coverage. So it kind of presents the illusion that he has better range than what he actually does. So, you know, and like I said before, he processes route combinations well, but he can be slow to react at times. So the computer's going up there, and sometimes it looks like he's overthinking. So he may be a step or two slow behind, and even his length can't save him in those scenarios. But if you're looking for a project-free safety that can come in with some length and some decent mobility and be competition for what's currently there, that, you know, you guys know how I feel about what's on the roster right now, then might not be a bad idea to keep him around, especially if he shows up in camp. So we'll see how that turns out. But for right now, it's a name to keep an eye on. And because there's this portion of my brain that's reserved for sophomore jokes and an inappropriate sense of humor, I need this dude to make the squad just because of his name. And I'm talking Ontario Pokey Wilson out of Florida State. And let's talk about what works with Pokey besides the name. The guy has a penchant for the big play. Watched them torch my Miami Hurricanes a few times, and also watched them make some pretty big plays against LSU. So there's that whole producing against SEC talent thing again, pops up a little bit here. Reoccurring theme, I guess. But Pokey's also pretty good as a route runner. He's got that backyard style where he creates. So not all of his routes are super crisp, but he's crafty. He knows how to create separation, whether it's some stutter steps, which could be seen as false steps in some scenarios and situations. But he's someone who knows how to create a little bit of space to get open, because he's also a smaller body, talking 6 foot, somewhere in between 170, 175 pounds. But he knows how to maneuver through traffic, and he's not afraid to make the contested catch. So you like somebody like that, that has that dog mentality, a player who's not afraid to go for the ball in traffic. Because, yeah, I mean, separation in the NFL is not the same as it is in college. What's considered an open window at the next level, again, not the same as what you get in the NCAA. So to see a player like that, has that ability, not afraid to go after the rock, and attempt to catch the ball with his hands. Gotta love that. As far as his timing is concerned as a route runner, that's where the freelancing thing kind of hurts him a bit, because you can see the quarterback having to hold the ball because he's not necessarily running the timed route based on the way that it should be run. And when you're talking about a guy that's smaller and having to deal with some press coverage situations, depending on where you play him, I would imagine he'd be more of a slot guy at the next level, so you've got a little bit of space there. But if at any given point he's on the line of scrimmage and he's facing someone that's larger or someone who's just stronger than he is, then you're going to deal with some scenarios where he's not going to get off the line or into his routes or out of his stem as quickly as you would need. So that can be a bit of a deterrent there. But he has decent speed. I believe I saw him clocked, and it actually varies, anywhere from like mid 4.4s to like high 4.5s, which, I mean, that variance is a little wild. But from what I saw on tape, he moves pretty well. Doesn't have elite top-end speed, but he's got enough to get away from guys, like I said before, when he's exploding out of his cuts into the back end of his routes to create separation. And he got on top of a lot of corners, man, whether it was because of a double move, which he runs pretty well, or just straight line, you know, having corners underestimate his speed and sitting flat footed and him, you know, breaking cushion and making them turn to have to run, but them being slow to react and him having a yard and a half, maybe two of separation on a go ball or something like that. But he's not going to outrun a whole bunch of people, but he's fast enough. He's got football speed. So definitely like that. You could put him in a room with a Keenan, someone who's a route technician, and I think he can learn a lot from him. And he's someone who, you know, could potentially end up being on the practice squad. And if you had to call him up one day, I'd feel okay about it. Size, again, would be a problem. But the fact that he does play so aggressively, and he's not like the Travis Benjamin type, someone who's running away from contact in a contact sport, I feel okay about it. Just the other thing is, a little bit older. I think he's like 23, 24. The dude was actually on the 17 FSU team. He was still around when Derwin was. So, yeah, it's been a little bit. So, older prospect, but you're not looking at him to be really a long-term solution unless he steps up on the big stage and shows that he can produce at that level. And then there's your diamond in the rough. Now, because I interact with a lot of you guys, I know that I was not the only Chargers fan that was just a bit perturbed when they didn't come away with a tight end in what was arguably one of the, if not the, most talented tight end class in at least half a decade. But I digress. You look at what the Chargers currently have on the roster in Gerald Everett, Donald Parham, Trey McKitty, and even Stone Smart, and you see some different varying skill sets that Kellen Moore might be able to take advantage of. And again, outside of the rationale that we received behind why they didn't take tight ends, maybe Kellen sees something or some things on the roster that he can make work. But I went with a tight end here, a guy that the Chargers did sign from UCLA. As you know, the USC UCLA thing, of course they did. Michael Ezeke. And what works is he's a 6'5", 245-pound tight end, and that kind of fits the mold of that bigger body guy who is or could be one of the all-around type players that Moore could use in the system, whether it be like an H-back or inline guy, someone you can split out. Not a top-notch athlete in that way, so he may be a little bit limited, but at least he has the size for it. A little bit of the pedigree too. He's a former 4-star wide receiver, so he's got the receiving chops there. And he looks to be, I'd say, like I said before, just a decent athlete. He's also willing to stick his nose in the mud as a blocker. It's not always perfect from a technique standpoint because he has a tendency to play a little high. You know how that works out in football, especially in blocking. Low man wins. So when he can use his leverage and his size against guys, he can make people move. But when he's up high, he has a tendency to miss, slip off of blockers, and he looks a little spastic and doesn't always work out so well for him. There were some really nice games in his mix, even though he doesn't have a ton of production. I think for his career, he had like just over 400 yards receiving and like 6 touchdowns, so not a ton there to work with. But there were some really games that I saw mixed in there against USC, where I think he had like 2 or 3 TDs, and also against Utah, a couple big catches there. So for the time being, he could be a nice red zone weapon that could eventually develop into more of a seam stretcher. But we'll see how that goes, because like I mentioned before, not the highest of athletes. So he's got okay build-up speed, but his top-end speed is not elite for the position whatsoever. He still looks like he's learning tight end. So, like, again, as I mentioned before, just unmolded clay. So you kind of sit behind a couple guys, learn, and maybe this is one of those dudes that you build up as someone that can be developmental and produce for you down the line. I'm not as high on him as what I'm hearing some people saying. Like, there's some folks out there that think that he can contribute year one. I don't necessarily see all of that, but, you know, at this point in that room, who knows? And again, like I said before, he just needs a lot of work, especially as a blocker. But there's stuff there that the team can hopefully grow if he sticks around. And then you're looking at some of the mixing and matching at the position, like I said before. Like, you've got Gerald Everett, who's your receiver, Donald Parham, who is a better blocker than Everett, or showed that he could be a pretty decent blocker. And he could also be someone who stretches the seam, and maybe, especially if he can stay on the field, Kellen Moore can find a way to utilize him much better than the offensive coordinator that preceded him, whose name I shall never mention again. But as far as the guys that I think have a shot at making this roster as undrafted rookie free agents, I mean, you know, these are the cats. So I wouldn't be surprised to see at least one stick. You know, Jared Clark's the guy I have my money on. But in the coming weeks, Jamie and Garrett will give you their list of guys, and we'll see how that all matches up. But until then, thank you folks for taking time out to listen to me talk about some of these cats, and we'll see how it all pans out. But until the next one, y'all take it easy. Been your boy Craig, and I'll catch y'all later. Salute.